It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it's Luke Clayton, and it's once again time here on KETR for us to spend about 15 minutes and talk about the outdoors. The topic today is fishing down at Lake Fork, and our guest is guide Larry Large. Larry, thank you, buddy, for being with us.
I always enjoy being here, Luke.
Well, I like to pick your brain on so many different outdoor topics, Larry. What we want to, I'd like to discuss today with you, or get you to talk about some, is the white bass, the sand bass in Lake Fork. Now, I can remember back, and I know you well remember it, but, you know, back when I was doing a weekly fishing column for maybe one of the biggest newspapers, I guess, in the state, but I'd have someone, usually a guide or something, you know what, we caught a sand bass. I can't believe they're in Lake Fork. They're going to ruin things. Well, I've always predicted that Fork one day would have a very healthy population of white bass, sand bass. I mean, it's not rocket science. It's so close to so many really good sand bass lakes that it just kind of had to become the case. And right now, Larry, there are a lot of sand bass in Fork, aren't there?
There's so many sand bass in this lake, Luke, they got to take turns swimming.
That's true. I believe that's a true statement, Larry. Well, you were guiding there for the past quarter century, let's say. You have been. Now, you fished it when there were, I won't say there was never a sand bass, but where you didn't, there wasn't enough to anybody catch one. Very, it was rare when they caught one. Now, there were a lot of yellow bass in Fork, and I'm sure there still is. But then you saw, when did you start seeing the sand bass become plentiful there?
Well, it's just been the last 4 or 5 years that they've really gotten a lot of them. You know, it's kind of a domino type thing. You know, we started out with, a guide'd go out and maybe he'd catch one or two a day. And then you wouldn't hear of any for a while. And the only place you could catch them was above the 515 bridge, and you'd catch two or three. And then pretty quick you were catching them down at Wolf Creek, and then you were catching them out in the mouth of Big Caney. And they just seemed to spread throughout the lake. And as they spread, they multiplied dramatically. And you can go out there now. I utilize them a lot. Not only do I enjoy eating them, as you well know, we take them to elk camp every year and have big fish fries. If they're cleaned properly, they are excellent table fare. But what I do is, a lot of times this time of the year, you get an early morning largemouth bite or a late evening largemouth bite, and during the day it can be pretty tough to catch fish. So what we do, we put tail kickers or spoons or something on, and we'll go out and we'll catch 25 or 30 sand bass just to break the monotony of not getting bit every 5 minutes. And the guide customers seem to enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. You know, Larry, I've been a sand bass nut for most of my – I like the action on them. And like you mentioned, they're really good eating. When you're filleting those things, if you'll pull that electric knife up just a little bit off that skin side, a lot of that red meat will stay right there with the skin, you know?
It sure will.
Yes, sir. And then you can take that and trim them. A good-sized sand bass, one that'll weigh approaching 2 pounds, you can take that knife and that red line that runs right through the middle of the fillet, just go ahead and cut that into two fillets, and cut that red meat, the red line out. And if there's an off taste in a striper or a hybrid striper or a white bass, it's in the red meat. But that's real easy to trim off. And gosh, you can put some Louisiana hot sauce in a Ziploc bag and a little milk or even buttermilk that's got a lot of lactic acid in it, buttermilk does, and leave it in there for 30, 40 minutes. And you know, I challenge anyone to, you know, get those fillets fried up nice and crispy, and they're really, really good eating. Now, Larry, if you want to say you really want to target the white bass down there, sand bass at Fork, are they schooling a lot, or is it mostly fish on structure right now?
Well, no, 99% of the fish right now. You may see some schooling, but if you do, it'll just be three or four or five fish. They're not schooling like most people relate to sand bass schooling yet.
Right, just kind of popping the surface.
What you need to do is go out anywhere on this lake, find you a 20-foot point with a drop-off or a 20-foot deep pump, 20 to 30 foot in that range. You will find sand bass.
They're going to be on it. And are you catching them now, most of them, pretty close to the bottom?
Yeah, I really am. I'm using things like spoons, silver spoons, you know, the typical sand bass stuff, any kind of a white or a chartreuse slab.
Mm-hmm.
I personally like to use a tail kicker simply because while I'm down there on the bottom catching sand bass, if you get that in front of a largemouth, he'll whack it.
That's right. You got to be a double threat on catch both of
right.
them. Right. So just really if you're you're a bass guide, have been for many, many years. Bass fish in the morning, and then switch over, say about 10:30 or something like that. Head out to some of those humps or deep points, get a slab or a chartreuse or white spoon or a tail kicker,
yep.
and get it down close to bottom and sack up something to eat, right?
You darn sure can.
Well,
there is no reason why two people in a boat out here now, if they go out there and fish from 10 till 3 or 4 o'clock, can't have their 25 sand bass.
Oh, well, that's, you know, to me, that's a good thing. Now, I know that a lot of people, you know, they, especially guides and people and very serious bass fishermen probably, I remember years back, you know, they were just, oh, we hope this doesn't happen. Well, it's happened, but it hasn't ruined the bass fishery. You still catch with your clients plenty of nice bass, you know, and other guys that know what they're doing do the same thing, right?
Oh, yeah. It, you know, basically, I was one of those purists that I said, oh, my God, they're going to ruin the lake. They're going to kill every largemouth in here. They'll eat all the spawn and everything else. And I just really don't believe that's taking place. And I'm to the point now where, you know, when fishing's tough, I can always rely on the sand bass. And my customers are still catching fish, and they have a good time. They tell me when they've had enough of the sand bass, and we go back to fishing for largemouth.
That's just
so
like,
it just breaks the day up, and I'll tell you, a lot of guides are really looking forward to being able to go catch the sand bass because they know good and well they're going to get their line jerked on that day.
Exactly. I look at the sand bass. I've written a lot of articles, many with the title, or use the title, if you have lemons, make lemonade. If you have hogs, wild hogs, make ham or something like it. If you have sand bass, make a fish fry. So, you know, granted, largemouth bass, they're just not a fish food. I'm a food fish, something that you'd want to go out and you know, not that there's anything wrong with removing some of the smaller ones. I think in a lot of the fisheries, the biologist actually suggest that at times, you know, to remove some small bass. But sand bass, they're what you eat. I mean, you're supposed to go after them, and it's good to know that it hasn't been a really negative impact there, Larry, at Fork. How about bass fishing right now? We might as well cover that while we have one of the best bass guides on with us. I know you've sent some pictures of some nice fish that your clients have caught lately, you know.
Yeah, I had a customer on his fourth cast here, oh, it's been a week or so ago. The poor fella, he's suffering from a lot of medical problems, and he don't know how many more times he's going to get to bass fish, but he's a heck of a fisherman. And on his fourth cast, caught an 814, and then the next day caught an 8-pounder. So there's still a lot of really, really big quality fish in this lake, and it's just right now they're kind of hit and miss. You know, you're dealing post-spawn. We've got all these fronts coming through, high water, dropping water. If it ain't one thing, it's something else. But doing real good early in the morning or late in the evening. There's even some real good night fishing starting to pick up now.
That kicks off in the summer every year. You know, you'd mentioned falling water. I don't care if it's stripers at Texoma or Whitney or whatever. Fish, really, I mean, you can take a good consistent bite and then have water being discharged or pushed through a reservoir. That's just usually not a good thing as far as the overall bite, is it, Larry?
Boy, it's not here. They open these spillway gates on this lake, and that current hits that dam. The bite's over. And it always puzzled me as to why, because when I was fishing the U.S. Bass Circuit, all the California lakes, the Idaho lakes, Nevada lakes, if you could get water and a current going down that lake, those fish went nuts. Here, it's exactly the opposite. In some of the delta areas in California, we'd wait till the tide was going out. That's when the fish bit.
Well, you know, on the coast, fishing for trout and redfish, if you're not fishing a moving tide, you're probably not catching fish. And that's just,
It's just exactly the opposite here in Texas. And I don't know what, I guess it's just what the fish are used to. You know, this lake used to be so stable a lake. I mean, the only movement it had in it was evaporation. And it's always been, ever since I've been here, and I've been here almost 30 years, that when those gates are open, those fish quit biting.
Exactly so. Well, you know, Larry, I'd like to connect folks with you down there. Of course, you've got out of Mustang Resort, and you've been right there at Mustang for many, many years. I know a lot of repeat folks listening to us know you, and probably a bunch of them have fished with you, but you're pretty easy to contact. They can always reach you through Mustang Resort, I guess. Your website would be good to leave, Larry, because, you know, you and I do our elk and bear hunts up in Colorado together, and then also up in Kansas. Of course, we've got all that. All we need to do now is just execute them this year, get up there and do it, you know. We've got it all planned, and our hunters ready, but your website is a good one, and folks could learn a lot through it. So how about leaving the website? We'll go ahead and also on our archive here at KETR, we'll leave the website where people can learn more about what you do.
All right, it's huntingeasttexas.com.
That's pretty easy to remember, huntingeasttexas.com, and from there they could call you or email or a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready, and even if they just want to talk and find out what's going on, I'm available. Just call me day or night.
Well, Larry, as always, buddy, thank you very much for being with us. And I've got a newspaper article planned when our weather cooperates, which maybe might be next week. Get down there with you and do a little firsthand investigative studies. Let's call it that.
There you go.
Let's do some sand bass fishing here in the next week or two. We'll get you back soon, okay?
All right. Sounds like a plan.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you very much for tuning in to today's show. And remember, you can listen to the archive of all of our shows at KETR.org. Just go there and look under local programs. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoke in Tex Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, the Texas Deer Association, Sun Optics USA, Purina Mills, and Darton Archery.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.